We will not copyright or trademark that. We do not have the rights to this at all. Please do not sue us. Thank you.
Hi, and welcome to These Unprecedented Gays, a new podcast starring Paul Smith and Joe Grinnelli. Follow us at TU Gays Pod on Instagram. New episodes every Friday. We hope you enjoy. Hi, everyone, and welcome to These Unprecedented Gays. I'm Paul.
And I'm Joe.
So, Joe, how was your week? I know you got your dog last week.
Yes, I did. So, if you guys listened to the last episode, you remember that I decided to get a dog, a puppy, and I did get the puppy that I ended up wanting, and so this week's been crazy because I feel like all I've been doing is I've been a worried dad for my puppy Max, and work is crazy, so I have no idea what's going on in the world. I have no idea what's going on outside of my apartment, except the 2 blocks that I walk my dog, because I can't walk him too far because he's not been fully vaccinated and I don't want him to get anything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was
it. And that's why you couldn't bring him over here today.
Yeah, that's true. But you guys were so sweet. Oh my God, listeners, these guys are the best. Paul and Andy came by and dropped off a bag of goodies for Max, and he was so happy. There was a little squeaky toy, and he loves it. He loves it. Also, 250 poop bags. Never knew I needed it, but I'm glad I got it.
You will use
them.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. But that's basically been my week. I think other than having a new animal and trying to get acclimated to that, it's almost like I don't know what it's like to have a child, but I assume it's the same thing.
Well, and plus you can't take him out. You're like, you couldn't bring him over here tonight.
No.
Because
he's probably whining at home right now, but he's okay. I'm crate training him. He's getting used to it. I think he's going to be a smart dog, so we're okay.
Okay, because I know that some people have like fears about bringing their dog to other people's houses.
Yeah,
especially when there's another dog in the house.
Oh no, Cooper and Max are going to be best friends. Yeah, Max attack, Maxie boy, all of it.
Well, like we have friends, and we went out to dinner last night, and went to their house. And they have a dog, and our dog gets along with theirs. Their dog is named Remy.
Aww.
And we get there, and not even 5 minutes into it, me and Andy are yelling at Cooper. We're like, no! Because he's sniffing around a couch and goes and pees on the side of their couch.
Well, I read, and I feel like I'm a researcher now for dog behavior and obedience, because I don't know anything. I've never been a dog trainer or anything in my adult life. We had dogs as kids, but apparently you can have a house-trained puppy and a house-trained dog, and then if you put them in a new environment, it's kind of like, sorry about it.
Right.
And then they just go and do their own thing. So it's not uncommon.
But also, like, our friend was on the ready. Like,
oh,
put
really?
Him outside. We're going to do this. Let me go grab the vacuum. I got this. I got the brush. And I'm like,
all right.
Oh, okay, girl. So I'm just going to sit here.
It's a common occurrence. Yeah. Well, maybe it wasn't Cooper. Maybe it was her. If she's so quick to the draw to get the Woolite out, to get the Bissell instructions and all that kind of stuff, and take the vacuum cleaner and get Stanley Steamer out because you got her on speed dial, maybe it's not Cooper.
I'm like, do you want to use some of my LaCroix water to help get that out? It's fun. It's fizzy. So
I feel like the fizz might help the carbonation.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I'm not a scientist.
So we went over to our friend's house last night for dinner, and we did not know. Well, we forgot we made these plans that the debate was happening. So we had it on for like maybe 10 minutes and then just started playing Sorry because we just couldn't.
Wait, Sorry was the game, or you were sorry that you're watching the debate?
Both.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, same. Because I think that was the sentiment felt across America.
I love, like, one of the CNN people were like, it's a hot mess inside a dumpster fire, inside of something else. And I'm just like, that's exactly it. Just wrapped up in a poop bag out of the 250 that I gave you.
And I have those poop bags for you, America. But I watched a little bit of it, and I just was like, okay.
I mean, with that being said, like, people have to get out and vote.
Yes,
like, that's 100%. The most important thing. If you don't know if you're registered, please check to make sure you're registered. If you're going to do mail-in ballot, please make sure it gets out there by October 20th is, like, the best time for you to do it. Get it out early. Get it done. So just please go out and
vote.
Yeah, make your voice heard. And I actually had no idea if I was registered because I moved. And the first thing I did was I changed my voting registration and I changed my DMV, whatever, address or something. And I hadn't gotten a notification that I got, like, a confirmation. And I was like, oh, my God. I need this. This is the only thing that's important to me right now is getting my voter registration. I don't care if the DMV is like, where's your registration for your car? I don't give a crap. And then I got three things, three separate notices. One was, you didn't fill out your registration correctly. The other one was, here's your confirmation. And then it was like a packet to register. And I'm like, how is this so difficult? And then I'm like, well, wait a minute. I can just go online. So if you're not sure of your voter status or registration, where you're registered, you can go on. I don't know the website, but I Googled it. I'm like, where am I registered voting in California? I think it's like something registering votering.com at America or something. And yeah.
Please don't take his word for it. Please do your own research.
Do a quick Google search. It was a California, like voter.california.gov or something. Yeah. I'm making that up, but it was something like that. And it was so quick. I put in my name, my social security or something. And it was like, hey, you're registered. I'm like, thank you.
So what was your social security number?
I'm glad you asked. It was 867-5309.
Yes, that is.
No, wait. That's eight numbers. I need 91. So that's it. Yes.
So not only the presidential speech was last night, but we also, like, this week we've been seeing the fires rage up again in Northern California around Napa and wine country. And it is like even worse than the last time because it's even closer to, you know, properties and like Calistoga got.
Yep. They got evacuated and evacuated. The three fires converged into one.
Right.
It's like the end of a video game where it's like, oh, here's a boss. Oh, now it's going to merge with this boss. And now you have the boss of bosses. And it's like, this is crazy. I can't believe that this is happening, but I think they're getting on containing.
So we record this, you know, a couple of weeks in advance.
Yeah, so it'll be late when you guys hear this, but just we'll remind you of what happened. It's kind of like a time capsule.
Right. So hopefully by then the fires are out or at least somewhat contained. That's what we hope.
We're sending our best vibes.
One of the big things was one of the three Michelin star restaurants in Napa burned down, which is the restaurant at Meadowood. And we actually went there years ago and had a really great dinner there and stuff like that. So we have memories of going to the restaurant at Meadowood. And that is a huge thing. Like Calistoga Ranch burned down. There was like the Chateau Boswell.
Huge evacuations.
Right. And now they're not even sure if even some of the grapes are going to be viable for picking and crushing and stuff. So even if there are any wines that come out of 2020, like,
and don't drink it.
They're probably going to be like some of the best wines.
Oh, true.
Grapes need stress.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of stress right now. The grapes are us. We are the grapes. We are stressed out.
And we are whining like crazy.
Oh, amen.
Okay.
That's the episode title, y'all.
So, and we do have a correction from one of our past
episodes. Is this something I did?
No. Well, it was me.
Uh-oh.
So we were talking about baking. And we were talking about the difference between a macaron and a macaron.
Oh, yep.
And thank you. Shout out to the Great British Baking Show. Love it. And the new season is out. So go check it out on Netflix.
And sponsor us, Netflix. You got the money.
So I had it opposite. So a macaron is the little coconut thing and the macaron is the sandwich.
See, it's so confusing. I was there with you because it's so, how are we supposed to know? I don't speak French. Is that French?
Is it French?
Bonjour, macaron.
Okay, we're going to move on.
So yeah, we might have a correction next. Stay tuned for next week's episode where we have another correction. It'll be our correction corner segment. That's what we'll do.
But thank you to everyone who sent emails to tugazepod@yahoo.com for letting us know that that was an issue.
Yes, shameless plug. Email us. Like we said last time, we want to hear from you.
And if you have any comments about the debates or the fires or anything, please let us know. We are here for you. We'll talk about it. If you want to come on our show and talk about it, hopefully, you know, we can get you in before the election.
We might have to zoom you in on a video chat.
There is a timestamp on this, people.
Yeah, a little bit.
So this week we're going to do fandoms. And I know you don't know a lot about what that means.
I don't know anything about it. So I think this, everyone listening, this is going to be an education, Paul's information
we
session.
We are all about infotainment.
I was
here
like,
on
there's a
show.
Word. I was like, infication, edutainment. It's infotainment.
Infotainment.
Sounds like a disease. Did you get it treated?
It sounds like it would be down there in the boys' nether regions.
I think there's a cream for it, right? Oh, like you have infotainment?
You have infotainment?
Okay. Ooh. That's infotainting.
Entertainting.
So many taintings. Oy, oy, oy.
So a fandom, just so you know, it's like it can encompass a lot of different things. Fandoms are across the board for like movies, celebrities, comic books,
everything.
Music, everything.
Yeah. So, I know that at least. And I will say I did a Wikipedia search on fandom because I was like, I know there's some fandoms.
Oh, come through research.
Yeah, I just Googled it, right? Hey, if Google. I can register to vote, you can Wikipedia. But apparently, the usage for fandom dates all the way back to 1903.
For pugilists. Because...
Okay, see, Paul knows everything! I thought I was going to be so cool with my factoid, and Paul's like, actually, I wrote
that article
referenced on Wikipedia. I wrote
that
girl.
Teach the kids.
Okay, that's it. 1903. I remember that time. It was a great time.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
I think there was an earthquake following, too, but whatever.
Was there a plague back then, too?
Probably. I don't know. Spanish flu? Bubonic? I don't know.
So, it started all the way back then. And fan clubs really became popular like around the 60s and 70s, especially with rock and roll.
I was going to say, weren't they big with the Beatles?
Right.
What was the other one?
So, Elvis Presley.
No, the Beatles, not the... it was another British group.
The Rolling Stones?
M. No, what was the M?
The Monkees?
There we go. Yeah.
I'm going to get it.
Again, infotainment, y'all. There's a salve for it.
So I'm not entirely sure the Monkees are British, but you can go ahead on your laptop that you have out.
Oh, yeah. No, it's fine. We've established that I don't do geography in one of our episodes. So this is just furthering that, you know, statement of truth. It's okay. We have our strengths and our weaknesses.
Exactly.
Monkees are not mine. That sounds weird.
So, yeah, but it was very much about the Beatles, the Monkees, Elvis Presley, all of these things started coming out and people were creating fan clubs and some of them were authorized, some of them were not authorized. If it was authorized, that means that the artist knew about it and kind of condoned it. And if it was unauthorized, they didn't really know about it. So, and you kind of wanted it to be part of the authorized one because that meant you got like signed pictures in the mail.
Like merch?
Yeah, you got merch.
So wait, they're unauthorized? Is that like... kind of like, ooh, we're
unauthorized.
Yeah, no, were there problems that arose from that?
I'm not entirely sure. I don't think so, just because it was back in the day, they didn't really do a lot.
Not regulated back then? It's regulated now, let's be real.
Yeah, right? but you would pay a due, and you would get like pins, and you would get pictures and shirts and things like that.
Like a fan club. So you'd
exactly
be a member.
What a fan club is.
Wow,
yeah.
So you have a membership and you'd pay to become a fan club. Wow, I'm stumbling for my words today, y'all. You are a paid member of a fan club and you get something out of it from the artist or
correct.
From the person. Okay.
Yeah. Huh. So, and it kind of built from there. People would try to get these clubs in schools for their favorite bands and stuff. So they have extracurricular activities and find other people that had that same interest, which is kind of like what the community of fan clubs is about, is just like, sharing that with somebody who loves something as much as you do, which is great in its idea and everything. And so now we have, out of fan clubs, we now have what they call stans.
Yes.
So you know what a stan is, right?
So I didn't know until pretty recently, because I remember the stan Eminem music video. Is that where it originated from?
No.
Okay.
Well, maybe.
Well, because remember that?
I don't know
do you remember?
Yes.
You remember that video where he was a super hard fan and his name was Stan. And it was that, I don't remember the song, but it was called Stan. And it was about this guy that was a super fan of Eminem.
Right.
And it was like stalking him and everything.
Well,
but I don't know if
John
that...
sang on that song.
Did he?
Maybe he used like a sample or something. Oh, he did on the music on the award show or something. He like sang.
I don't remember.
Oh, wait, no, he used a Dido sample.
Yes. From White Flag.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's where I remember it from. And I know that Stan is like, oh, I stand for you. And I had originally thought it was stand, like S-T-A-N-D. And I'm like, what are people standing for?
Yeah.
Like, I'm standing for you. like, as opposed to sitting down? Okay, cool. That's fine.
So stan is actually a noun and a verb. You could be a stan of Rihanna's, or she stans Rihanna.
Okay.
See, so, like, when I say back in the day, everyone, just so you know, for the kids out there, when I say back in the day, I mean like the 60s, the 70s, maybe the 50s, before 2000. It's called vintage. It's before 2000.
I just think vintage, so you know. I think now vintage is 80s. Because we're in 2020, 40 years ago, right? I know. I was a product of the 80s, so I know. I'm vintage! I'm vintage, everybody!
Finally.
I know, it's about time.
So, and nowadays, stans have created, like, names for their fans.
I know those, at least. I know those, some of them.
Like, some of them. Like, you know, Beyonce has her... Is it Beehive or Beehive?
I thought it was Beehive. B-E-Y, right?
Right. Bayhive. That's what I thought, too. Yeah. And they use a lot of, like, the lemons and and the bee emojis when they're on Instagram and other ones. But some of the older ones are, like, parrot heads for Jimmy Buffett.
Okay.
And you have deadheads for Grateful Dead. Those people are super stans because you had people who would follow this group around,
like on tour buses, when we're saying like back in the day, they were groupies, right?
Groupies are different. Like, groupies are like ones who wanted to have sex with the artist, whereas fans were just like, I kind of want to just be around you, but
can
maybe
you be a groupie stan?
Maybe you can't be like a hardcore groupie stan.
I would be one.
And I mean, and groupie is a technical term, and it is a technical definition. So, like, if you look it up, groupies were meant, like, they would hang out specifically to try to have sex with artists.
Do you have an artist that you would want to have sex with?
Oh, my God. So, okay. So, I'm just going to tell you that, and it's just going to sound, and people, like, are like, really? You? And I'm like, Missy Elliott.
Oh.
I love me some Missy Elliott. Like, I will totally be down.
A genetic female. Look at you.
I know, right? I'm just like, but she just always had this exude, this confidence. Like, I'm a Missy Elliott stan. Like, have all her CDs.
You work it. You lose control. That's right.
I drop it, flip it, reverse it.
Sure for Nickelodeon? Yeah, come on.
So, but like, that was one that I would be a groupie for because I love her and her confidence and just her imagination and her creativity is so beautiful. Huh. And the fact that she doesn't care what she does. Like, she was one of those people, like, I've discovered, and she was in a giant trash bag. She was dressed up like Mega Man.
Yeah.
You know, her videos were just so out there, and I listen to her stuff still, and it's like, that's crazy that her stuff still sounds like it's futuristic in 2020. But yeah, so I don't think she has somebody who that... Like, she, her fandom has a name or anything like that. But one that does have a name, and I think it's so cute, is, like, Mariah Carey fans are called lambs. I know, right? And we do have a gentle soul who's a lamb.
A Southern Belle, if you will.
It's Andrew Davis is in the studio with us. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, how are you?
We're great. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So how do we know you? Who are you?
Yeah, give us a little history about how you know us.
Yeah, we're going to grill them,
y'all. Talk about us, please.
So I know Paul and Joe from the San Diego Gay Men's Chorus. We've done, what, 3 shows together?
Have we?
I think
I thought it was. I thought we've only known you for a year.
That would be 3 shows. That's 3 shows. That's 3
shows. Yeah.
We do 3 shows a year.
I don't know. Well, no, because you started in spring.
Motown.
No, you started in
spring. Yeah,
spring.
Motown.
Not last spring.
Yeah,
spring
last
before.
Year. No, 19. Yeah, spring of 19.
Stop it. I feel like I've known you for like way back when.
Forever.
Yeah, we're
almost as
now.
Long. Almost as long as you've loved Mariah.
Almost.
So what? How many years? 20 years?
So how long? I mean, like, when did you become a fan of Mariah?
I became a fan of Mariah when I was 8 years old.
So wait, let's backtrack for a little bit. So would you classify yourself as a fandom?
As a stan?
A stan as a stan. Fandom to
Mariah? I actually had never heard the term stan until I got here today.
Oh, infotainment.
I had no idea. Yeah.
What age were you when you found out about a stan? This day.
Today years old.
Today years old. Today you're like a new old. Babe.
Exactly. I had no
so
idea.
So 8 years. I mean...
No, I was 8 when I became a fan. So my cousin had all these Mariah cassette tapes, and I was this little...
Yes, Vision of Love.
Yes, little 8-year-old gay boy in the hills of East Tennessee, and I would, like, sneak and listen to these cassette tapes, and I fell in love with, of course, first the voice, and then next the lyrics.
Okay. Oh,
no, because she writes all of her songs.
Yeah.
And so then I think it was the Butterfly album had just came out. I talked my mom into taking me to Walmart to get the CD.
Because we are in the back hills of Tennessee.
Because I was in the hills of Tennessee.
It's not
exactly.
Tennessee, it's Tennessee.
Tennessee. Okay. And we got there for the one album, but then I ended up talking her into letting me get all of the albums up until that point.
And did she know you were gay?
She had no idea.
Really?
So
she's allegedly.
Buying
you Mariah, and she doesn't
allegedly.
Well, how many albums were out at that point?
So they were.
Because she popped
like probably
in,
two
what,
or three.
I'm gonna say no,
right?
Like five.
Oh,
during the '90s. So she, her first album, was in 1990, and she was pumping an a
that
hit
was her
album,
album
out every single year.
Right, because you had Vision, Love, and the Emotions, and then
Daydream,
and then Daydream, and then
Music Box.
Oh, okay.
And then
and for the full discography,
always,
please
and
ask
Butterfly.
Andrew.
Yeah, exactly.
I always thought Music Box was a euphemism.
What?
I always thought she was
like
talking about her
downstairs. Oh.
I'm sorry if I ruined that for any Mariah fans out there.
Any new lambs, don't worry.
It's like
maybe
that.
Butterfly is too. Maybe she just loves naming her albums after
maybe.
Her stuff. You
know what? She probably will talk about that in the book.
Oh, you mean the book
in
that
the
just
book.
Came out today?
Out today.
Out
that, today.
And then did you get it on Audible so you can listen to her reading the book to you that she wrote about her?
So yes, exactly.
Full on
exactly.
Mariah.
This is my plan. This is my plan. So my boyfriend got me pre-ordered the hard copy of the book.
Oh,
it
he
came
loves
in the
you,
mail.
Girl.
It came in the mail yesterday, but aww. I also got the Audible. So my plan is to like go to the park or the beach, and I want to have my headphones in and listen to her read the book to me, but also follow along.
Aww, that way you're actually reading
yes,
it.
I am reading, but I get to also hear her voice.
Okay,
I'm
for
I think
for
there's
this.
Also like snippets of songs and things. There's, yeah,
I'm loving
I've
this
heard
narrative.
The Audible is going to be really good, so I want to have both.
But is she releasing any new music? Or no, this
oh,
is
yeah.
just a book.
Oh, yeah. She also has an album out Friday, The Rarities, which will be like B-side songs.
But didn't she already put that out with the Greatest Hits one where she had like B-sides and remixes and
so
all
she
that?
Came out with the Remixes was the title that you're thinking of. And it was just all remixes of songs that are already out. But The Rarities are unreleased music.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Right, so they're like really rare.
Yeah.
So, like, have you ever seen
they're
her in concert?
They're pretty rare.
Have you ever seen her in concert?
Yes. Like, I want to say, like,
times?
I want to say, like, 6 or 7 times.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, yeah. And my first concert ever was a Mariah Carey concert. I was 19.
You laid the groundwork real
I saw her in Tampa.
Did you?
Actually,
oh, in Trampa. Yeah, yes, Trampa. We love Trampa. That's what those of us from Florida call it. Just
Trampa?
So you know.
Oh, my God.
So, like...
I'm going to live there.
Did your parents still not know you were gay?
No. Yeah. No, they didn't. Yeah, my mom didn't. She, I didn't come out until I was 21. And so, allegedly, my mom didn't know that I was gay.
She was probably like, he loves women.
He loves women. Look at how much he loves Mariah.
Mariah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow, isn't that a common
yeah.
name?
Yeah, like her fingers were crossed.
So, like, what era? Because Mariah went through a lot of different eras.
So many
she
eras.
Went through a lot of different sounds and changes and stuff. I mean, I really like the Tommy Mottola time. Like, you know, that's like Daydream and Honey and all those.
Yeah.
But, like, what era was your favorite of Mariah's?
I love them all. And I know that's such a generic
you
answer.
Have to
but
pick one.
I,
that's like a child. Which
so
child
so here's
do you
the
like?
Thing. Here's the thing. I fell in love with the Tommy Mottola Mariah from the 90s. Okay. But then once I heard her story and kind of like how he kept her a prisoner in the mansion and just like wouldn't let her leave the house. And she was just like a prisoner in her own home writing hit after hit throughout the 90s. Then I was like, you know, maybe I don't like that. It kind of almost gave me a sour taste. And so then I started to appreciate the other music more, you know,
who's Tommy
throughout
Mottola?
The years.
Tommy Mottola was a big time producer and he was also
Sony
a
music.
Record executive
yeah.
and he you know, was part of Sony, I think it was.
He discovered her,
and then he married her.
Yeah. Oh.
Sort of like the whole thing with, like, Celine Dion, too.
Yeah.
Like, Renee.
Very similar. Yeah,
yeah, very similar. Yeah. The agent and person who discovered them ends up marrying them.
And then the age difference, too, with both.
So, now, you are also a huge Dolly fan.
I am.
In Dolly Parton.
I'm such a Dolly fan.
I thought we were just a Mariah fan over here.
No.
We're a Dolly, too?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Dolly is my heart. Just because I fell in love with Mariah first because I was like 8 years old and she was my way of escaping my, you know, being in the closet as a kid throughout my teens. But then after I moved away from Tennessee, I really fell in love with Dolly because even when I first moved to San Diego 4 years ago, I went to a Dolly Parton concert here. And when I was at that, I went by myself because I didn't know anybody here. And when I was at that concert listening to her talk and sing the songs, you know, that I've heard all my life, I just felt like I was home, you know, and I just cried. And
aww.
So I just think she's such a great representation of where I'm from, East Tennessee.
Yeah.
I think she's like the best person.
So now, did you know that you were gay back at like 8 years old when you're buying this Mariah CD and doing all this?
I had an idea.
And did you decorate your room with Mariah?
Oh yeah. There
posters?
Were like posters everywhere.
So, like, you really were, like, old school stan for...
I was in line at Kmart when the Glitter DVD came out.
I'm loving the stores where Andrew goes.
Walmart.
Oh, it's all the marts, everybody.
That's all we had.
Yeah, cool. Marts.
But, like,
yeah.
For those of you who don't know, that's what you had to do back in the day was you couldn't just stream everything. You just couldn't, like, do that. You had to wait in line. Like, I was a huge
how big?
Spice Girls fan.
Oh,
huge.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's huge. Like, I love Spice Girls.
Yeah.
So just like you, I was there at midnight at Virgin Megastore.
Oh, yeah.
Virgin Megastore was a record store that you had to go to buy all of your music for all the kids out there.
Yeah.
So you didn't have to be a virgin to go in, but, you know. But I was there at midnight when Spice World came out.
Yes.
Because I was a huge Spice Girls fan. I mean, I bought everything. I bought every, like, CD single that had a remix or a B-side or whatever. So, like, they couldn't come out with the rarities because I'd be like, I already have that.
Exactly.
I am not getting my money's worth for this.
Wasn't that the best feeling, though? Like, being there at midnight. I remember one time being at Walmart, of course, at midnight. And the guy brings out the box of the CDs and, like, opens the box to put them on the shelf. And I'm, like, waiting there for him to hand me mine.
Well, for me, it was like at Virgin Megastore, they had a huge display
because
like when they had the Pepsi endorsement and everything. So they had this huge display, but they had it roped off.
Oh, nice.
So you couldn't touch anything.
Nice.
And I was like waiting there because I worked at the House of Blues box office at Downtown Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got off work. It was like 10:45. I'm like, I'm just going to go wait at Virgin Megastore for this to come out. And I just was so excited to finally get it and get to listen to it when I got home. And it was exciting. And I was like, yes, I found like these people that I love.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember the first time that you heard a Mariah song or a Dolly Parton song and how you felt at that time?
That's the best feeling. And when I would bring home that new album, I always would get the lyric book out of the CD case, and I would memorize every song, you know?
CDs and tapes used to come with lyric books in them so that you could learn what the the words were for your favorite songs. You didn't have to go online to find it.
Or they're not on Spotify as you listen to
them. As you listen, yeah, exactly.
Behind the lyrics. Okay, I see you.
But, like, my first time seeing the Spice Girls was, like, again, they're one of the few groups that I've ever just been like, still love to listen to to this day. But the first time I ever saw them was I was at home in Orlando and I was watching this channel called The Box. And it
the
was.
The Music Box?
Well, not that one. That one was really fuzzy.
It was the 80s.
But you would go and people would call in and request certain videos.
Okay.
So this was like everybody's first song that they heard from the Spice Girls was Wannabe.
Yeah.
For a lot of people. Mm-hmm. For me, it was Say You'll Be There. And I remember the video because it played on the box and I was like, what is this? And it was like them in the desert. And it was like they were like these futuristic warriors or something. All right. But they all had on their clothes that like kind of spoke to who they were. So I was just like, oh, okay, that's nice.
Do you remember this, mm-hmm. the song? Obviously, you remember Two Become One.
Oh, I love that song.
I was like, what, six when that came out, I think? It was, what, 94, 95?
Yeah, something like that.
So
yeah.
I was very young. I was a child, basically. Again, youthful here. But I remember that I was like singing these songs. I'm like, I don't know what this means, but it's about having sex.
Yes.
When two become one. When two become one. So, Andrew, I do have a quick question. So you said 4 years ago Dolly Parton was doing a concert.
Mm-hmm.
Is she still touring?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was her last tour. So that was 2016, the Pure and Simple Tour.
Okay.
That was also the name of the album at the time.
Okay. Also my life motto. Pure and Simple.
So, yeah.
Have you been to Dollywood? I know that for
sure. I grew up going to Dollywood. I had a season pass my whole life. I still have an active season pass. And I think I was 15 or 16, and the first time I saw Dolly at Dollywood, because she comes for the grand opening and like certain special events, me and my mom, they had this like caution tape roped off this media event, or Dolly tape, actually. The tape was white, and it said Dolly Parton Media Event on it.
Did you snip off a piece to take home?
I did get a piece of the tape for home. You know that I did. Me and my mom waited there and, like, watched the news crew set up and everything for, like, I don't know, an hour and a half. And then finally, Dolly came out and done this segment for the local news. And I was just like, I will never forget that feeling.
You said you were 16?
I think I was 15 or 16.
And so, okay, yeah. Describe to me how you felt in that moment when you see this person that you have, I'm going to say idolized, right?
Yeah.
No? Yes? Is that an accurate word? That you're a stan for.
A stan for, right? Yeah.
Walk me through how you felt. Were you like speechless?
I would say speechless.
It took your breath away.
There were no words. Yeah. And then the first time I saw Mariah, I was just in tears the whole time. I just like couldn't stop crying because it was just, I don't know why. Aww. She came up from the stage and I immediately started crying.
She came up from the stage and the tears came out of your eyes.
From my eyes.
It's a psychological connection.
That is so true. And even now when I see her in concert, I saw her in Vegas a few years ago, I still cry.
Well, because you said with Dolly that her songs made you feel like home.
Make me feel like home.
And is that just because she's from Tennessee?
Because she's from Tennessee, and a lot of the way she writes her songs are about growing up in Tennessee, so I can relate to that.
Okay.
But then Mariah's lyrics have helped me through so many difficult times in my life. And so there are like so many songs that aren't necessarily singles that I, as a child, related to so much, the lyrics. And so I think that's why I get so emotional with her, because she's just helped me through so many hard times in my life.
It hits close to home.
Yeah, it really does.
Do you think that with age, they have a new meaning? Like a song that maybe you heard as a child?
I think, yeah. I like to revisit.
It kind of re-evolves into something new.
Exactly. I like to revisit the old albums, and then, yeah, you can find new meaning in those lyrics for sure.
So how do you connect to like the community of fans, like either Dolly fans or Mariah fans? Like when you go to Dollywood, I'm sure there's a lot of Dolly fans there. Yeah. And then when you're in Vegas, but does it like...
So when you're in Dollywood, it's very obvious. There's like all these homosexuals with their I Love Dolly t-shirts on. So you can very clearly see who the Dolly fans are. And then for a brief period of time, I was super obsessed. I had a lot of free time during my teen years. There wasn't a lot to do in Tennessee.
I mean, you weren't dating?
I wasn't dating.
He was really busy at the marts, y'all.
He was very busy.
He was at Walmart. I was at Walmart. Kmart.
Any of the marts.
All the things.
There's only two I know of.
And I would literally, like, check the fan sites every day. There was, like, site called dollymania.com.
Oh, God.
And then there was Mariah... something.com, and I got so obsessed that I would, like, every morning as soon as I woke up, I'd have to check those websites to see if there were any new news.
Did it inhibit your life? Like, did you have it? Was it to the point of being an issue where you're like, I can't do that, I have to check a website?
I wouldn't say it got that bad.
Did you need to go to Fandom Anonymous?
Anonymous, yeah. Honestly.
There you go.
I had to stop that.
It's okay.
So now you said that, Dolly and Mariah were there for you for certain parts of your life and certain things that happened. Is there like a specific example that you can touch on or?
No, I mean, so Mariah's lyrics were like, I, you know, of course, being different from everyone else. She, you know, she grew up biracial, and she never felt like she had a place in the world. And so a lot of her lyrics kind of speak to that. And so for me, growing up in East Tennessee, I wasn't really like, you know, anybody around me. So I sort of like related to those lyrics, you know, even though I wasn't biracial, I wanted to be so bad because she was. I even, you know, like my dad was estranged. And so I asked my mom one day, I was like, are you sure that my dad wasn't black? She's yeah. like, no, I'm sure. I'm like, cause I want to, you know, I have this tan skin. I want to be biracial so much. It's because Mariah was biracial. And I
felt you're
like,
tan right now. Right. San Diego. You
know? So now what is your favorite Mariah song and your favorite Dolly song?
And then we'll tell you ours.
Oh my goodness. So I knew you would ask, and it's so hard to
pick a favorite,
but for Mariah, like one of the songs that helped me a lot was Close My Eyes from the Butterfly album. Wasn't a single, but the words really spoke to me. And then, Can't Take That Away, Mariah's theme.
Okay.
Yep. Don't know
that
either.
That one was on the Rainbow album. Yeah. A lot of my favorites are not singles.
Yeah, my favorite's All I Want for Christmas is You.
Exactly. That's everyone's
favorite. And I've been listening to it lately, as you may know, audience, from another episode where I discussed I Love Christmas Music. And on that topic, what do you think about that performance? Oh, he's making a face.
Don't ask me that. That is so rude. No.
I mean, that is so rude. Okay, here's a perfect example. You're a super fan of Stan. You're a part of the fandom. How did you react when that all went down? And for those of you who are listening, it was when Mariah Carey did the Christmas special and
Rockefeller. Yeah, I think it was the tree lighting or something.
Oh, was it New Year's?
No, I think it was the tree lighting at Rockefeller. Okay.
And let's just say, you know, it wasn't received well. So how, Andrew, then, did you react to that?
Well, I stand by what she said, is that it was cold outside. She didn't get to warm up properly.
She didn't have any tea.
She didn't have any tea.
That's
okay.
The tea right there.
Nobody
y'all.
Had any tea for her. No, you know what? Like, we're all human and we all, like, you know, everyone's voice can't be perfect every single day. So it's like, you know, if her voice isn't, you know, album quality, you can't really judge her for that.
Well, and she's getting...
And she's 50, you right. know,
well,
so...
You guys hit that's a very important point. Like, as you get older, not only do you get wrinkly, but the collagen in your vocal cords degrades too, so you change the way
Ooh,
that you
science, talk. Oh, science, y'all! Science!
Yes, it's a pretty tissue engineering thing, CC Riverside.
Dang, all right. Collagen.
But it's true, and so that's why her voice has changed throughout the years, and she's not... You know, the same person.
Yeah.
Because she's 50. She For can't sure. sing as an 18-year-old anymore.
For sure.
Well, and to touch on that, because with the community of fandoms and stuff like that, there is this great thing where people come together and they talk about it and it brings people closer. But then there's this other darker side of fandoms now with the, you know, advent of the internet and apps and Instagram and TikTok and all this stuff. People have, they can post their critiques or their opinions really quickly. Oh, so it becomes very toxic because like with Beehive or Beehive, anytime anybody says anything,
they attack like a beehive. Like
they do.
They
are quick with that.
Yeah.
And like the Swifties, they go after people too real fast. Like with that whole thing with Kim Kardashian and they blasted her Instagram with like snake emojis.
Yeah.
Because of the whole Kanye West thing. I was just like, girl, it's like a couple years old. Let's all get over this right now.
Like, if someone came for Mariah Carey and
they
tried to attack, I don't know. It made sense in my head.
I don't give that any time, honestly. Yeah. Okay. Just keep it moving.
Well, because it's like, it's what you enjoy. And
exactly,
they hold such a special place in your life, in your heart and everything that nothing is going to change
it's
your...
It's so true. And then one of the things is, like, my best friend Travis from Orlando, he always says, like, if
holla, Orlando, yeah.
Hey, Travis.
If he ever...
Is he single? Am I gay? Am I age? And available?
If he ever let me hear something, you know, like a new song that he was crazy about or whatever, and I'm like, not really care for that. He's like, well, it's not for everybody. So that's what I say when people, like, don't love Mariah, they don't love Dolly. Like, I get it. They're not for everybody.
Yeah,
but they're for me.
Everybody's
know?
A critic. They and I always say to that, too, that not everyone liked Mother Teresa.
What?
Hey, had haters. She had haters.
Oh, I did see that. I did see that group on Reddit. Like, it was
oh my god, I heard Groupon, and I was like, there was a Groupon for Mother Teresa. What, buy one Mother Teresa, get one free?
We'll throw in Gandhi.
Oh my god.
Well, Andrew, thank you for coming on and talking about this.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I was like, it was so awesome to have you here. And
I learned a lot. I really did. I went into this knowing nothing.
We're all about infotainment here.
Yeah, and we're gonna get that prescription for you, Paul. Don't worry. So
this is your first podcast. Like, we were the first podcast you ever listened to, right? Or no?
One of the first. The other one is Dolly Parton's America.
Okay, we'll let you have it.
Let me plug that.
But this is your first podcast experience,
yeah. Oh, for
right?
For sure. For sure.
Like, you haven't been on Dolly's show
absolutely
yet.
Absolutely not.
Yet. So we're going to wrap it up for this week. Thank you to our special guest, Andrew Davis.
Yes, thank you for taking time out of your busy day. You're a busy person and stepping away from the fandom to speak with us.
The fandom. I'm a huge fan of the show. So thank you so much for having me.
Oh, we're thank a fan you.
Didn't
of you.
You didn't have to say
oh my
that.
God, I'm a I stan you.
I mean it.
I stan you.
We have our stan now. So please don't forget to email us at tugayspod@yahoo.com if you have any questions, comments. If you have any concerns, it's RossMatthews@StraightTalk@Yahoo.com.
Wait! No!
That's if you have concerns.
Okay, so I'm going to say I do listen to the podcast with Straight Talk with Ross Matthews, and I love it, and I am a straight talker, and that's their name. So I think for our fandom, we should call them Tuggers.
I love it.
It's kind of raunchy, kind of not, but kind of like, what are you tugging on? Oh, you're tugging on some fun info. That's why.
We're tugging on your earlobes. We're tugging on your brainstem. We are tugging on everything.
Tug away, kids. Tug away.
But you know what? All you tuggers out there, make sure to slide into our DMs with any of your
comments. I feel good about this.
Yes, I love it.
You can
how that rolls off
day.
The tongue right there.
It rolls off the tongue, the tug tongue. Oh, man.
But go ahead.
Jinx.
Poke you, owe me a Coke.
Okay, we'll wrap up. But when I was younger, I was in Pennsylvania, and they don't call soda soda, they call it pop. And this is back when Surge, if you guys remember Surge, it was like an energy drink.
Yeah, it was like a knockoff of Mountain Dew.
Oh,
but
we would chug that like left and right. And like kids on Surge, not a good idea, but it would be Jinx, you owe me a Coke, or you owe me a pop Surge. And that's it. That's my last tidbit for the thing. Don't forget, everybody, we're wanting to hear your really embarrassing stories if you've had a bad date. Like I said before, I've had probably 400. So I'd like to hear at least one so that I can sleep better at night.
All right, guys. Thank you again. Have a great week.
Thanks, Andrew.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Special thanks to Andrew Smith and Nick Stone for producing the show. If you like us, please follow us at TUGaysPod on Instagram and visit us online at TUGaysPod.com. You can find us anywhere you can stream podcasts. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and let us know topics you'd like to hear. And always remember, stay safe, stay classy, stay sassy, and always stay a little bit trashy. See you next week.